Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is Jesus? It's the most important question in the world. Who is that child in the manger? Jesus. Who is that man who died on the cross and then rose from the dead on the third day? Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talking about the life and the events of Jesus while he was here on earth about 2,000 years ago, people are asking this question: who is this man? How does he do such wondrous miracles? What child is this? Begins one of our Christmas hymns, our Christmas carols. Who, laid to rest in Mary's arms, is sleeping? In the first few verses of Paul's letter to the Romans, the people that lived around Rome, Paul answers that question. Jesus is the Son of David and the Son of God. He is the Son of David. In the Hebrew scriptures that were first written on scrolls, but we call the Old Testament now, there is a progression of promises given about the upcoming Savior, Jesus. And they begin all the way back in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, with the promise that a child born from the woman, born of a woman, would defeat the devil after Adam and Eve had already fallen into sin. And Eve thought that her first child was or would be that Savior. One of the translations is, "With the help of the Lord, I have begotten a man. And another translation is, "I have begotten a man, or a son, or a boy, the Lord." If you hadn't heard that one before. I think that comes from Luther. So the expectations of the firstborn being a Savior, and he turned out to be the first murderer. Later, God promised a man named Abraham that his children, his descendants and grandchildren and all the way down, would be God's chosen people. The Savior would be born from his descendants, his line. And then we see how Abraham's promise was then given to his son, Isaac, who himself was a child of promise. And then Isaac had a son named Jacob, and Jacob had his name changed to Israel. So Jacob and Israel as a person are the same person. And then one of Jacob's sons was named Judah. And then from Judah, several generations down the line, we end up coming to David, who ended up being a king of Israel, all the people of God's chosen people, the king of Israel. So Jesus is, from both Mary and Joseph, if you look up the lineage and the names and stuff in the Bible, the parts that we usually don't look too quickly, you'll see that both Mary had come down from a line of David, and Joseph also had come down from a line of David. But when King David lived about 1,000 years before Mary and Joseph, the nation and the kingdom of Israel stretched over a whole bunch of land. And by the time it got down to Mary and Joseph, they were very, very poor. They couldn't afford to have a lamb or a sheep sacrificed. They couldn't afford to have a bull or an ox sacrificed. They had two pigeons sacrificed when Jesus was 40 days old. 40 days after Mary gave birth, they went to the temple in Jerusalem. And there was one of those sacrifices for the cleansing of Mary, and one of the sacrifices for the firstborn that came from a woman's womb. They couldn't afford the sheep or the cow or the bull or any of that stuff, but they could catch or buy pigeons. So two pigeons is what they used, showing us how very poor they were. Jesus is a son of David. And David wanted to build a house, structure, building for God. You see, up until that time, ever since God rescued his children out of the slavery of Egypt when they were going across the desert on their way to the promised land, God had them build, according to his instructions, a movable tent. It's called a tabernacle, a place where they could worship God. And then as they moved through the desert, they could roll up the animal skins that made the tent and take all of the fixtures and move it along and then set it up at another place. So they were always on the move. And David, you know, he had a palace built and all this great stuff was already built. And he goes, I want to build a house for the Lord. But God instead says he's going to build a house of David, a house for David, a house, a heritage, a lineage, that kind of house of people, like a household or a family of descendants. And from David's descendant, one day would come the Savior, Jesus, because he would save people, not from their enemy, not from their people enemies and other countries and stuff, but he would save all of us from our sins and our sinful condition. His kingdom would be everlasting. And as Jesus said later, his kingdom was not of this world, not as a country on this earth, but a kingdom of heaven and a kingdom in heaven where he's gone to prepare places for us. Throughout the remainder of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, we get more clues about the coming Savior in several prophecies. He would be born of a virgin. We heard that this morning in Isaiah 7. Miraculously, without any instigation by a human father, he would be born in Bethlehem. That you can look up in Micah 5, verse 2. In a very tiny village, a few miles outside of Jerusalem. And that he would be turned over or betrayed into the hands of evil people, and they would take him away and they would make him suffer and kill him by the crucifixion on the cross, and that on the third day he would rise again to continue his life forever. He was the Lamb of God that was used as the sacrifice, offering himself, taking away the sins of all of us, the sins of the whole world, everybody, Adam and Eve's sins, all the way through the last, whoever, all the way through all the sins until Jesus comes again. His death and resurrection, therefore, gives you and I the forgiveness of sins and a sure promise to life everlasting. During Jesus' ministry on earth, there were several people who recognized that this person, who is this man, this person, Jesus, is the Messiah King, the Son of David. In fact, just before Jesus was entering Jerusalem one time, two blind men shouted out saying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They recognized that this just wasn't a regular Yeshua or Joshua or Jesus, but that this one was the Son of David who would be the Savior of the world. And then Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, and people, the crowd around him, were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Lots of people, crowds of people, were shouting that they believed that Jesus was the Son of David who came to rescue them, their blessed Savior and Redeemer. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus, well, let's think back. When David was a boy, we remember the story of how he went out and battled Goliath, a soldier, like lots taller than he was. Jesus came in the world to do battle for us. He came to save us from our enemies, our sin and sinfulness, to make sure we don't die forever, and to keep us safe from the power of the devil. And so it was Jesus against the devil. If Jesus won, he would free us all. If the devil won, We would be captives, slaves. Slaves under Satan's power forever. When Jesus was up on that cross being crucified, it really looked like the devil had Jesus on the ropes, as we say, close to absolutely beating him, winning. Jesus was despised, rejected, beaten, nailed to a cross to die. And the very people, both the people group and all people, who had come to save him, he had come to save the people, all the people were mocking him, the very people Jesus had come to save. The Son of David was not much different than we see Israel behaving in the Old Testament. They were very weak. They looked so powerless against all the really big nations of the world, the Assyrians and Greeks and Babylonians and all of those, just the little people group. So yes, Jesus is the Son of David, but more importantly, Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, Mark, at the beginning of his gospel, says, "The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And in today's gospel reading from Matthew, we hear the angel Gabriel telling Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And then likewise, Mary's future husband Joseph was told, "Don't fear, don't be afraid. What is conceived inside of Mary is from the Holy Spirit. It is only the Son of God who could save us from our sins and from death and from all the powers of the devil." The moment Jesus died on the cross, all the evil powers of hell must have been rejoicing. It looked like they had won. But as the warrior, the centurion who stood at the foot of the cross, saw that when Jesus died, not with a whimper, but with a loud voice requiring a lot of breath, and with the earth quaking all around him, and with that temple curtain torn in two between the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, and the other parts of the temple, the centurion exclaimed, "Surely this was the Son of God." Surely this man was the Son of God. What did that warrior hear from the Lord's lips? Jesus proclaimed, "It is finished." Jesus had finished this battle, and Jesus had won. We can be free from our sins. Jesus had given his innocent life as a payment for all of our sins, and Jesus confidently could say, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And according to the prophecies in the scripture, on the third day Jesus rose from the dead. Bible and elsewhere talks about how the end result of our sin is death. Jesus had no sin. Death couldn't keep a grasp on him. Jesus, yeah, died on the cross, but rose again and lives forever. And that resurrection showed people indeed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. So the resurrection of our Lord is proof that all of our sins have been paid for, all of your sins, all of my sins. All who believe in him will also rise to eternal life, to live with him. Jesus also tells us that he will always be with us, even to the end of this world, and that he will deliver us from all evil. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, there's that line in there, "Deliver us from the evil, deliver us from the evil one." And it's through Jesus Christ, the Son of David, and the Son of God together that we can have peace and grace. Grace and peace is the way the Apostle Paul begins every one of his letters in the Bible, sometimes adding the word mercy. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. And in Jesus, we do find that grace from God. All who believe in him are certain that their sins are forgiven. And baptism, likewise, tells us that we have been reborn from sinful people and entered the family of God as the children of God. Through Jesus, we can also call God our Father, the God who creates the heavens and the earth and all that power and all the universe and everything. We get to call our Father as we begin, as Jesus taught us to pray, our opening words, the opening words of the Lord's Prayer, our Father. God loves us all, and he loves all his own dear children, and has an inheritance waiting for you that can never spoil or fade or perish or disintegrate, pass away. Besides grace, we also find peace in Jesus. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." There are many worries and fears we have in our lives, especially people that are living at this time, or any generation really, but it always seems prominent in the generation that you're living in. Many worries and cares and concerns and fears that we can have in our world. Our hearts could be burdened with guilt and with grief, but faith in Jesus the Christ fills our hearts with peace. Indeed, the very first word that Jesus said when he appeared to his disciples after he rose from the dead, "Peace be with you." Every situation, it gives us peace to know that our Savior King, the Son of God, watches over us and he prays for us, he intercedes for us, and he gives us that gift, that inheritance of eternal life. Who is Jesus? Paul writes that he is the Son of David and the Son of God. He is our everlasting King, our King of kings and Lord of lords, who has redeemed us with his holy, innocent, precious blood on the cross. And in him we are loved by God and called to be holy. What a wonderful blessing it is to know Jesus, not only as the Son of David and the Son of God, but to believe in him as our Savior. Amen. And may that grace, mercy, and peace of God keep your hearts and minds in true faith in him until life, everlasting, eternal life. Amen.